Well, good morning. It is great to be here this morning, and I got to tell you, I have been so blessed already this morning by the worship and just meeting all of you. I mean, you've got some friendly people around here, despite what everyone said about Kansas. It's a really nice place. Just kidding. And spending time with your pastor has been wonderful. It's great to meet another Kyle Busch fan. So we'll work on that. But some of you don't have any idea what we're talking about. But it's great to be here this morning. And I want to introduce myself a little bit more. I grew up on the mission field. My parents are missionaries, so continuing on the family tradition. We lived in Israel, Tunisia, Jordan, and Spain. So spent my whole life growing up overseas as missionaries. Like I said, your pastor said, met my wife at Central Bible College and three kids later. And we went to Azerbaijan. So everyone know about Azerbaijan, right? I don't have to explain. Okay, maybe I'll explain a little bit. Azerbaijan is north of Iran. Part of the old Soviet Union. It's on the Caspian Sea. And we got there at 8 million, that's 8 million Muslims and 5,000 Christians. So we got there and our pastors had been saved a couple of years out of a Muslim background. And they were not very good at loving people and caring for people and didn't know much about the Bible. Yet they were pastoring churches, and so we got right to work, working, mentoring them, helping them, teaching them how to love people and how to take care of people. Everyone say Hoi Lu this morning. Hoi Lu. You say, what in the world is Hoi Lu? Hoi Lu is a teeny tiny little village up in the mountains of Azerbaijan. If you try to Google it or find it on the internet, you won't find it. It's so small, it's so forgotten, so out of the way. And the Lord gave five brothers in this village dreams. And they started to have dreams, and Jesus was coming to them in their dreams, and he only said one thing. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They'd never seen a Bible before. They didn't know that scripture out of John where Jesus said that about himself. And so they figured, well, I guess we need to go and find some Christians. And it was pretty hard because there's only 5,000, like I said, and they're all in hiding. You know, we are not, you know, putting our name up, First Assembly of God. We're all in hiding. And so they found the Christians. They found our pastor. We went up there and we take the overnight train and go in a Jeep way up in these mountains. And we just started out with, this is the Bible. There's two parts and this is who Jesus is. And they were amazed when we showed them that scripture when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you say, well, what's so great, what's so amazing about that? The amazing thing is there hasn't been a church in that village in over 1,000 years. No believers, no Christians, all those generations going back. And this is the amazing part for me. God used me. God used me to plant a church in a place where there hasn't been believers. So forgotten by the world, it's not even on a map. But God saw there was a village and there were people that didn't know him. And he must have seen something in them that he knew they'd be receptive. But he used me to plant a church up there. And so this morning, when I talk about missions and what we're doing, and I'm going to encourage you to be involved in missions, there's not going to be any pictures of starving children. There's not going to be any arm twisting or any guilt trips this morning. But I'll say this, if you're a believer and you're not involved in missions, you are simply missing out. If you're not in part of what God's doing all around the world and seeing places that have been in complete darkness for 1,000 years and now God's giving dreams and visions to people, if you don't want to be a part of that, if you're not a part of that, you're missing out. So when I tell this story and I say, talk about this as church being planted, some of you are like, yes, that's my team. I was a part of that. I've been praying for God to move in these Muslim countries. And some of you are like, well, that's a nice story. But this morning, I want you to get involved. I want you to be a part of the most exciting revival that the world has ever seen is taking place right now. The most incredible things that the world is ever in the 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross are happening right now in our time. And I'm inviting you this morning to be a part of it. Now, Azerbaijan, he mentioned England. So what's that all about? Okay. So we were there 10 years. We worked with our pastors. We mentored them. We helped them. We planted churches. And then we felt like the Lord leading us away from there. We are starters and pioneers. Our churches, we've left there. We've been gone for about a year. They're continuing on church planting. They're starting new home groups. They're doing a great job. And so we did what God called us to do there. And then this opportunity came to be a part of church planting in all places, England. Okay, so that makes sense, right? Azerbaijan, England, right? Okay, no, it makes no sense, okay? But when I first heard about that opportunity, my first thought was, oh, come on. England's covered. England's taken care of. There's a lot of Christians there. I've heard about all the incredible church history in that country. They don't need missionaries. But then I began to read and begin to study and begin to talk to people. And I found out that 3% of the people in England are Bible-believing Christians. 3%. In most people's book, that is in most people's opinion, that's an unreached nation. That was shocking to me. And then I found out that 5% of the people in England are Muslim. So there are more practicing Muslims than practicing Christians in England. That was shocking to me. On top of that, I found out that the number of Muslims has increased by 75% in the last 10 years. Not in the last 20 or 30 years, but the number of Muslims has increased by 75% in just 10 years. And so I began to find out our world's been turned upside down. Things that 50 years ago were one way are now completely the opposite. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be working in Southwest England, based out of Bristol. We'll be church planting with an incredible church planting movement that has started up. 3 churches in the last 3 years, and their desire is to plant one more church every year for the next 4 years. So we've committed to that, to helping them get these churches off the ground, get these churches planted. Bath is right in our sights. 100,000 people. And No Assembly God Church, and probably 4 or 5 Bible-believing churches. And we know if we'll just go in there with a good team and a good, strong church, kind of a core group of people, that we'll have a church in just a matter of a short amount of time, because there are always people hungry for the truth. There's always people looking for a good, solid, strong church. That's what we're going to provide for them there. So we're asking you to help us, to send us to do that, okay? And here's some ways that you can do it. Number one is by prayer. And I know every missionary says this, and I'm just going to keep beating this drum. But the number one thing that every missionary needs is prayer. And so we have all of our missionary account and all the money that we need, but we don't have the power of God behind us, the power of the Holy Spirit by people praying for us and backing us in that way. If we don't have that, we have nothing. It'll be a complete failure. So I brought this here. This is a picture of me. Wow. I thought that there would be more excitement about this, you know. How about this? There's a picture of my family on this card. Woo! There you go. And this is to help remind you to pray for us. In a year from now, in 2 years from now, in 3 years from now, you may forget my sermon this morning. That's hard for me to believe, but it may happen. But if you have this and it's in your Bible or on your refrigerator, you'll remember to pray for us. So take one of these. I have plenty on the table out there. Get one of these. Now, if you can put that slide up, that picture, I'm going to ask you to do something right now in church that is totally sinful. Oh, I just got your attention, didn't I? You've been told never, ever to do this. But I'm going to ask you to take your cell phone out, your smartphone, and go to Facebook, and in the search box, type in The Parks Cast and like us, okay? Like our Facebook page. Now, as you're doing this, I know there's fear and trepidation. This is my Facebook contract with you, okay? Number one, this isn't my personal page. So every day you're not going to get a post about what I had for dinner and what the dog did and all that kind of stuff, okay? There you go. 2 or 3 times a month, we'll put a picture a small note of what's going on, what's happening, prayer requests, okay? So this isn't going to flood your email, and then flood your Facebook. And then number two, this isn't about fundraising. We will never ask for money over Facebook. This is simply going to be updates and prayer, okay? So that's my Facebook contract with you. You can be safe with that, okay? So that's a great way to keep connected with us. Number two is we need more missionaries out there in the mission field, okay? I'm not the only missionary here this morning, right? Every single person here is a missionary. There's an amazing thing that happens to people when they change their mindset, they change their paradigm about life, and they start thinking about their life as God sending them out on a mission. And that it's not just that crummy job you have to go to on Monday, or just have to go to school, or just have to run these errands or do this thing. That when you wake up in the morning, you realize this is God's plan for me. That God has a plan for me. God has people in my path today, and I'm on a mission, and God has something for me to do. And it's an adventure to find out what it is He wants me to do. So God's called me overseas. Not everyone is called to go overseas, but every single person is called to the mission field around them. So get out there in the mission field, number two. And number three is by giving. And we can't make it there without giving. And what we want to do is we want to be a gift to this church planting movement. They are working extremely hard. They do church three times every Sunday, three different locations. They are exhausted and tired. Even though God's doing amazing things, they need help. And they're asking us, every week I talk to them and they say, when are you coming? When are you coming? And my response is always the same. As soon as I can get my budget raised, we have just a little bit left to go. Actually, we have 49 days left, or 48 days now. 48 days to raise our budget. I'm not going to give you the numbers. I'm not going to bore you with that. But if I gave you the numbers, it would probably be too discouraging. But God has a miracle for us. How would you like to be a part of a miracle this morning? I need a miracle in the next 48 days. We've been given a hard deadline. If we don't have our money raised, we won't go and do what I'm telling you God's called us to do. We don't believe that's going to happen. We believe God is going to come through in a miraculous way. He already started. And so this morning, when you give to us, at the end of the service, you'll have that opportunity. You're going to be giving to a part of a miracle. And we'll send testimony back to this church in just a few weeks and say, this is the way God did it. God did something amazing for us. So if you could help us with giving, that would be great. I have a short video we want to show here now, and it gives you a little bit of more insight into what we'll be doing and the situation in England. You'll see in that video that there's a chart that shows all the numbers, all the arrows headed in the wrong direction. Number of ministers and number of churches and number of pastors and all that going down. And then you'll see that the number of Muslims has increased by 75%. And that convergence of those two statistics is quite shocking. So take a look at this video, and if you're ready. Thank you. Wanted to point out there on that video, you'll see that the churches are kind of, buildings are being abandoned and being sold off and being turned into mosques. And of course, the Muslims love that when that happens. But restaurants and pubs, and you can even get your car washed in an old church in England with stained glass windows. And so amazing what's happening there. I also wanted to mention that if you're not on Facebook, on our card there, you'll see we have a blog, kind of a website that you can look at that and sign up for email updates if you're not on Facebook. So we have several ways of connecting with us. Well, let's turn in God's Word this morning. I want to ask you to turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And start reading in verse 3. So as you're turning there, we'll set up the story and see where we're at. Jesus at this point has been crucified, and he's led these disciples for approximately 3 years, and they had in their minds that Jesus was going to set up a great earthly kingdom, that he was going to kick out the Romans, that he was going to establish, you know, Israel the way it should be, and he was going to sit on the big throne, and there were going to be 12 little thrones, and they were going to sit on those. And boy, were they excited. Even a couple of them got their mama to come and talk to Jesus about one of her sons sitting on the left and the right side. So, man, they were excited. But none of this has played out. As much as Jesus tried to tell them he was talking about a spiritual kingdom, they had in their mind it was going to be a physical kingdom. And so Jesus has been crucified, and the ladies went through his tomb, and his body wasn't there, and the angel said he's risen, but they're not convinced yet. And they're in total confusion, completely discouraged. And so they don't know what to do, so they decide, well, I guess we just have to go and do what we did before we met Jesus. And that was, some of them were fishermen, so they headed back up to the Sea of Galilee, and they started their fishing business again. And apparently they've been fishing all night long, and they've caught nothing. How many know what that feels like, okay? Fishing all day, okay. But this wasn't just for fun, this was their livelihood. So here we come to the story, and they're discouraged, they're down, all their hopes and dreams have been dashed, and now they can't even do what they were doing before they met Jesus. Here we go, starting in verse number 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered, in shame. I put that in there, the shame part. Verse number 6, he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because the large number of fish. And you saw in that video, and you'll see on the back of our prayer card, there's another translation that translates what Jesus said. He said, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat and see what happens." And when I read this and the Lord began to speak to us about going to England, he spoke to me about this little verse right here. Throw your net out and see what happens, because I need a little bit of convincing to decide to go to England. He said, throw your net out and see what happens. And this was a faith challenge. This was God challenging me in my faith. Trust me and see what will happen. Now, I'm 40 years old now, so this is the big year, the big one for me, okay, the big year. And to some people, that 40 is extremely old. Some of you there on the front row there, that's like you are near death. Get the gravesite ready, okay? To my daughter, who's 16, 40 years old is just it's hard to comprehend how old that is. But to others, 40 years old is like, wow, you're young, you're in the prime of your life. But over these 40 years, I've read a lot of God's word and seen a lot of the promises. And when you just read it as face value and what it says and what God says, you would think that every Christian would wake up in the morning, just leap out of bed, excited about the day. Excited about the supernatural things that God's going to do. Excited about their faith and excited about sharing it with everyone around them. You would think that if you ask a Christian, tell me the last miracle you experienced or the incredible thing that God's done, you would think that they would have a whole list of things and be able to just go on and on and on about the amazing things that God has done. That as I'm 40 years old now, I've met a lot of people and been a lot of places, and I've discovered that that's really not the case. That many Christians drag themselves out of bed in the morning. There's really not much that they're really looking forward to. If you ask them, when's the last time God did a miracle? When's the last time they saw God do something supernatural? They would really scratch their head and maybe not have a whole lot to say. And so what is the difference? What's going on here? Okay? That's what we ask ourselves. I think it has a lot to do with this right here. That Jesus is constantly saying to us, throw your nets out and see what happens. Throw your nets out. I want to do something amazing for you. Throw your nets out. All this work that you're doing and trying to accomplish on your own and you're not seeing, try it my way. And see if I won't do something amazing. Let me put it to you this way. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time you tried something for God that there was a knot in your stomach? When's the last time you tried something for God that your palms were sweaty and you were nervous? And you were crying out, oh God, if you don't do something, it's all going to fail. When's the last time you tried something for God and you thought, man, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to look really foolish? I have a feeling that most of us, and it's our human nature, and it's not a altogether bad thing, that we want to live in safety. We want to live in comfort. We want to live with predictability. We want to know that if we do this and we have our insurance and we have our retirement accounts and we have all these things, and none of that's bad. But where it goes, where we cross over that line and that crosses over into our faith, and we don't do anything, we know with 99% certainty exactly what's going to happen with everything that we do with God. And I want to challenge you this morning that God is calling each and every one of us. If you're a believer, God is constantly on your case, isn't he? He's constantly hounding you. He's constantly whispering to you and speaking to you. Test me. Try me. See if I won't do something amazing. I want to do a miracle through you. I want to do amazing things through you. But you've got to take those nets and throw it over and see what happens. Very rarely does God just come out on the scene and do something without us exercising our faith. He does it on occasion. But the majority of time, God requires us to do a little something, to test our faith, to say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to tell you a little story about Azerbaijan. We went there as rookie missionaries and just wanted to serve and do what God wanted us to do. But we met a man in our church who had a newspaper registration. And this is amazing in and of itself. But he said, Missionary David Parks, I want to do a newspaper. Would you help me? And I said, well, I have to think about that. That's we're not supposed to be here as missionaries. We would get kicked out of the country. And so we prayed about it and felt like the Lord said, yes, this is an opportunity I want you to take. So we started doing this right here. It's our Christian newspaper. On the outside, we did just regular news. And on the inside, we printed almost the entire Old Testament. This is a part of Psalms here. We printed 250,000 copies over 5 years. Muslims believe that the Old Testament is a holy book, not on par with the Quran, but yet it's a holy book and they should read it. But they can't, they have no access to one. So when they saw this, they were just amazed. And we had people taking these columns here that you see, and they were cutting them out and pasting them into books and pasting them into notebooks and making their own Bibles. That's the hunger that was out there for God's Word. After a couple years of doing this, and every 2 weeks we have a stack of those newspapers and we lay our hands on it and say, God, put it in the hands of those who need it and keep it out of the hands that don't. And God did that 250,000 times. Amazing. But our newspaper guy came to me and he said, I think we need to give our newspaper to the government now. Okay. The anti-Christian government, Muslim government. Yeah, give it to the government, because in Azerbaijan, all the newspapers are based out of the capital. And so to get them to the whole country, the government takes them and they sell them in the post offices in every one of the 66 counties, rayons, in the country. And they do the distribution for you. So for 3 years, we gave our newspaper to the government. And they did the distribution and took it to every part of the country of Azerbaijan. Isn't God incredible? I mean, isn't God amazing? That's an amazing story. I just get blown away every time that I tell it. When we were just starting out, rookie missionaries, we went to churches like this and asked people to send us to Azerbaijan and help us and support us. I stood in front of the congregations and I said, I believe that God wants us to take his word to every corner of the country of Azerbaijan. And everyone was so kind. They didn't laugh at us. They didn't snicker. They didn't. Because really, how foolish is that? I'd never been to Azerbaijan. I'd never met an Azerbaijani person. I didn't know a word of the language. I'd never been involved in radio or TV or newspaper or any kind of media. And here I was saying, I want to take God's, God's going to use us to take his word to every corner of the country. God had put that faith seed in there. I don't know where that came from. I had no plans to do that. I had no idea how I would do that. But I knew that God had put that in my heart. And yet God somehow, some way, found a method, found a way for us to take his word to every corner of the country of Azerbaijan. We had people from all over the country writing us, thanking us for the newspaper and wanting more. And this morning I want to tell you that pastors and missionaries don't stand at the front of the line. That God doesn't answer our prayers first. And because we're more special or important to God. And then you all that are just sitting out of the congregation, you have to wait. And if God gets around to your prayers, he will. That's not the way it works. God wants to do these amazing things in your life. God wants to do things like this newspaper beyond our imagination, beyond what we can plan or think or understand. God wants to do those things for you. But you know what he needs? He needs someone. He needs you to take that net and throw it overboard. The story behind this is we had no money to do this. We didn't raise any money for a newspaper. It's expensive to print a newspaper. Even in Azerbaijan, it's expensive. But for 5 years, God supplied every single month what we needed to do this newspaper. We had a lot of opposition, not from the government. We had opposition from other missionaries that thought this was a bad idea. It was too dangerous. We were going to get in trouble. They didn't like it. And, you know, I had every opportunity. I prayed, God, you know, we don't have the money to do this. And God said, throw your nets. In other words, you know, throw your nets over and see what I'll do. I said, God, we could get in trouble. The Muslim extremists or the government or someone could find out and they'd kick us out. And God said, throw your net over and see what happens. And God helped us for 5 years to do it. We were there, and one of the most frustrating and difficult things about being in Azerbaijan was the corruption. The government's extremely corrupt. Everyone's always trying to lie to you and bribes and getting money out of you and all this kind of stuff. And it was extremely frustrating and difficult part of living there. And January come around, and the way you paid your gas bill is by paying the little guy that came to your door. He'd read your meter and you paid him. Well, January comes around and he shows up and he's got a hacksaw underneath his arm. And he's got two guys with him. And he says, there's a problem with your bill and you need to give me $400 or we're going to cut your heat off. So we go out there in the street and we're talking, and our neighbors come out and they find out what's happening. They start yelling at him. This guy's here to help us. This isn't the way we treat guests. The whole thing was made up on his part, by the way. And this isn't how we treat guests in our country. And they're yelling at him. So I want to be a good missionary. So I start yelling at him, you know, be a culturally appropriate, you know. So we're all yelling at him. And I think he thought, whoa, this is just way more than I bargained. This is way more than I thought I was getting myself into. So he said, okay, we'll let it go. You're here to help our country. We're going to let it go. And then he said, hey, I want to meet you sometime. And I want to find out about America. You speak our language so well. I'd love to hear about America and be your friend. And I didn't, you know, this is a missionary. I'll just be completely transparent with you. I didn't want to have anything to do with this guy. I just thought, let him go, you know, just let him burn. In other words, you know, that's terrible, isn't it? And awful. But at that moment, that's what I thought. But he knew where I lived, so I gave him my phone number. And sure enough, he called. We met, and by this time I'd gotten a little more spiritual, and prayed through a little bit. And I thought, I was just angry. I thought, I'm going to stick it in the devil's eye, and I'm going to bring a book of Psalms. I'm going to give him a book of Psalms, because that's what we always started with when witnessing there. Aziri's love poetry in this. So we met and we talked, and I took it out of my bag, this book of Psalms, and I handed it to him. And as soon as he touched it, he just started weeping. He just broke down crying, and we're in this tea house with all these men. This big guy who was so tough, and he was going to take me for all this money, and all of a sudden is weeping in front of me right now. And I said, this is God's word, and you need to read it, and it's full of wisdom and truth. And we talked, I introduced him to our pastor, and I believe that I'm going to see that guy in heaven one day. But I was like those disciples. I was discouraged. I didn't understand what God was doing. I didn't understand what benefit could come out of this. But yet God found a way. And somehow, some way, I took a net and I threw it over. And I believe there's going to be one more soul in heaven because of that. And God wants to do those things in your life. God wants us to get over our excuses and get over our problems, our issues. And he just wants us to trust him. Just trust him. And he said, see what happens. Because what's the hard part here? I mean, who does the heavy lifting in all of this? Is it us taking the net and throw it over? We may think it's heavy, but really it's not. The more difficult part is bringing fish from all over the parts of the Sea of Galilee to swim into those nets. That's the hard part. That's the miracle. What's more difficult? Me picking up that book of Psalms and taking and meeting this guy, or God melting the heart of a man like that? What's more difficult? I think God does the heavy lifting. We can trust him. And so this morning I'm standing in front of you, and I'm not asking you to do anything I'm not doing right now. Sometimes these things are instant and immediate, and sometimes they take place over a course of time. Like I said this morning already, I have 48 days to raise an incredibly large amount of money. In and of myself, it's impossible. Your pastor asked me this morning, do you think this can actually, I mean, do you have a plan to see? I mean, he's asking me, do you have a plan to see how this can actually happen? My real plan is just calling out to God. But I'm not asking you to do anything I'm not doing right now. My stomach gets in knots when I think about what God has to do. I think, oh God, you've got to do something. You've got to come through in a miracle. And then I get on my knees and I pray and say, God, help me to have some faith to believe for this. But I believe God's going to do something amazing and help us to go to England and plant these churches and see people come to know Jesus and help with a church planting movement that's going to affect the entire nation of England. God's going to do it. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something. This week, do something for God that is beyond what you can do on your own. Do something for God. Say, God, I'm going to trust you. Take a net out this weekend, throw it over and say, God, you're going to have to fill it. You're going to have to do a miracle and watch God do something amazing for you. God wants to do a miracle in your life. He's already been speaking to you. It may be about your finances. It may be about walking across the street and witnessing to somebody. It could be any number of things. But I know that God has been speaking to so many people here. And this morning I'm here as God's voice to tell you this is the week to do it. This is the week to take that net and throw it overboard. You may be discouraged and down just like these disciples. You may have a whole list of reasons why it can't be done. And in the natural, you're absolutely right. It can't be done. And that's a reality. It can't be done. When I look at my budget, it absolutely can't be done. But we know there's another reality, don't we? There's the reality that we look at in numbers and on paper and abilities and all this. And then there's another reality that begins and ends with God. And that's the reality that you need to live in. That's the reality. See, there's something else going on here. That's a reality that God wants you to believe in this morning. God wants to do something for you. Throw that net out and see what happens. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that every word in this Bible is true, that every promise we can base our lives on and count on. Lord, I thank you that you're a patient and loving Heavenly Father. Patient with us in our excuses, patient with us in our doubts. And this morning, I pray that you would give every person here courage and strength to accomplish your will. Lord, we believe you have miracles for us, and we want to see those this week. Lord, we pray for that continent of Europe and England specifically. Lord, this morning, so much darkness. Lord, the reverse in the church and the decline in the church, Lord, is just shocking to see. And Lord, we pray that you would send a great revival, a great move of your spirit to England again. Raise up great pastors and evangelists. Lord, send revival, Lord, like the Welsh revival that was seen 100 years ago. Lord, bring your word back to that nation. Lord, help us to be a part of that. Help this church to be a part of that, we pray. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. I'll be back there at the table after service. I would love to meet you and answer any questions that you have. Talk about England or Azerbaijan. Please come and get a prayer card. God bless you. Hallelujah.